Do you ever feel like money is pulling you and your spouse in different directions rather than bringing you closer together in your marriage?
And by the way, did you know that it's possible for that to not be true? It is possible for your money to be bringing you closer together, but we know, we hear it all the time that you feel like it's pulling you apart. It's making you, by the way, like maybe every conversation that you're having feels about money feels like it turns into a fight. Mm-hmm. We don't even want to broach the subject because we know it's going to be a fight. Every time we tiptoe into that, it turns into a fight somehow.
And then maybe we just text about it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't turn out well. It
solves everything. No, we get it because this is why we're here. A lot of our clients are couples and they're having a lot of friction in their mm-hmm. marriage. And we're here to talk about the reasons why today, the problems that are actually happening in your marriage that are maybe making some of that true.
Stay tuned for a special podcast mini series about money and marriage. Do you make good money but have nothing to show for it?
Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck?
Do you have big dreams for your financial future?
Do you want to get debt-free, but you don't want to live on beans and rice?
Or you don't want to give up those pumpkin spice lattes?
Hey, it's okay if you don't already know how to budget or if you're using credit cards to get through the month.
Hey, it's okay if you want to seem like you have your finances all together or you're not on the same page with your spouse when it comes to finances.
We know what you're doing probably isn't working, but guess what? You're in the right place. We're Shayna
and Vanessa. We're best friends, business partners, and master financial coaches trained by Dave Ramsey. We've been in business since 2019, helping hundreds of amazing people like you create budgets, get out of debt, stop living paycheck to paycheck, and know exactly what to do with their money.
In this podcast, we'll share with you everything we know, plus everything we're working on with our clients so that you have the best chance at reaching your financial goals.
We want to help you take the guesswork out of your budget, improve your marriages, and even bring your kids in on the conversation.
We can help you no matter where you're at, whether you're the single mom who's never had $500 in her savings account or the millionaire who's paid off 4 real estate mortgages.
And we're not going to shy away from the tough love. We'll tell you what you need to hear and encourage you at the same time.
This is the Ideal Balance Podcast. One way that you can really help your marriage is to get on the same page, to get on a budget together, and we have a signature budget template that can do that for you. The cool thing about math is it doesn't lie. It's
like the best.
By itself doesn't have emotions. There's no baggage tied to it. It's just facts and data, mm-hmm. and our budget template is going to help you get the facts and data up in front of your face so that there's less to argue about and more just facts and data to consider.
I think that's what we hear a lot is that we didn't look at it. We're not looking at it together. We don't even want to see the numbers. Mm-hmm. And so this allows you to, like Shayna said, come together, have a reason to come together, put the numbers on paper and just face it, face the facts. And it has all the templates there for you, all the sheets, everything you need to track your assets, your debts, even mm-hmm. look at what a debt-free budget and a retirement budget looks like for you guys. And it has those calculators. So we really recommend just sitting down and filling this out with you and your spouse. You want to go to myidealbalance.com/budget.
So we're going to go through 4 problems that are foundational to the fact if you guys are fighting about money or you feel like you're not on the same page or you're growing apart, any of that. The first one is that you don't trust each other. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And we see this a lot with our clients. And so what might that look like mm-hmm. in your marriage? So first thing is maybe you're asking permission or you're feeling like you need to ask permission to spend money.
Or maybe you guys have separate banks, separate bank accounts, mm-hmm. different. You've separated all of your finances from each other. Maybe you have different credit cards or whatever. That's a sign that you don't trust each other, by the way.
And another thing is maybe one person is controlling the money. Now, we always know that there is a nerd and a free spirit in a marriage. So there's always one person that's more in charge of it. So we get that. But this is literally somebody hoarding it, being in control of it, not allowing the other person to have access or to see everything.
Yeah. Another thing that we see is you or your spouse saying me and my and what I earned and my paycheck and what my money is going to do and all of that instead of the ours and we can tell if it's more that way. It's a lack of trust for a good part of that.
Yeah, for sure. So we definitely want to change the vocabulary around your money. This is a marriage. Y'all are together. And so we want to bring that together and not just in what you do every day, but also your finances.
Yeah. And so we're going to go into tips overall on how to improve all of these problems and improve your marriage when it comes to the money situation in the next podcast. Mm-hmm. But in general for this, we just want you to know that you shouldn't be asking permission. You want to be coming up with amounts and budgets together. It's not one person asking another. It's we're deciding this together as a couple.
So when you have different accounts, right, we have a lot of clients who literally may have different banks and different accounts where they're not on each other's accounts and they don't see what's going on. They don't want the other one to see what's going on. And we just believe that's not unity. There's no unity in that. There's not coming together. We really want you to be able to have access to everything when it's not about, I don't want them to know, this is mine. This is, again, that's all bad vocabulary. What we want is everyone to know what is going on so we can all make the best decision for our finances.
Yeah. And what's the Bible verse? Like, the light will shine in the darkness and the darkness cannot hide. And we're not trying to to make you feel like you're in darkness. But both of you having access to everything is just better. There's no chance or opportunity for darkness, right? There's no chance or opportunity for that. And our system requires both of your income, if you both have it, whatever it is, to be in one account and all the bills to be coming out of one account that you both have access to, so you can both watch all your money work for you and not stress. And if you want to have different spending accounts, we'll get to that in a different podcast. But you need everything to be combined because you did combine when you got married.
Two becomes one.
Actually, you guys did combine. So that's what we need for your accounts to be doing too.
Yeah. And Shana said you will have either your own cash envelopes or your own separate spending accounts, but everyone can still see everything. And it's so convenient when my husband goes to Lowe's and he needs money out of the home repair account. He just logs in, transfers the money, and he spends it, right? And it's because we all have access to each other's finances. Mm-hmm. Nothing is separate or, Shana said, mine and me, right? Yeah.
And then another thing is we want everybody, we're going to talk about it in the podcast, but it shouldn't be one person controlling the money. That is definitely a lack of trust, right?
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy. The control shouldn't be there at all. Yeah. It's just a joint effort. It needs to be a joint effort. And we're going to want to also, like we said, start using the right vocabulary. Ours, we get to, we're doing this together. This is our goal. This is our money. Look at what we did this month, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. To go along with kind of these, what this looks like, we had a client one time on the coaching call, very first time, wonderful, sweet couple. But they were actually revealing some things that were going on for the first time on a coaching session to me as their coach, but they were both there. And they were hiding money from each other because they didn't trust each other with the money. They didn't want each other to know what was going on with their finances. And there was just a lot of feelings, a lot of emotion coming out. And you can just feel the weight of it all. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so bad. That was the position that they were in. But also happy to know that they were coming out on the other side of this. Like, this, there was a future. We are getting better. We are going to fix all this. And it's starting now.
Yeah, I had a similar situation with a client who was like holding some of the income back in her business so that it wouldn't get over to where her husband was. And it's just, it's better to deal with what the reason is that you don't want to put the money in the account than to hide it. That is not solving the problem. You're not going to move forward in your marriage. You're not going to make any resolutions or habits or new changes by doing that. You're handicapping yourself. So we need to put the money over there and figure out how to together keep us from spending it incorrectly or keep us on budget together. And that is a better, higher goal to achieve than just not spending the money by not showing each other. So we just want to make sure. So for them, now they can see it. And she started to put it in an account called, I think, Spend This and Die. Spend This and I Will Kill You. I don't know what it was called. But
very specific.
Hey, baby steps, baby. Okay, we were on baby steps and it's fine. And they just let's find long-term solutions. What are the long-term solutions in our marriage that are going to help us both to get along, to get toward our goal together?
Yeah. And you may be listening to this thinking, oh, that's me or that's my spouse. So there's always one spender usually. Sometimes it's really hard when there's two spenders in the marriage. But if this is you, if you're sounding like you're the one wanting to keep some money back because maybe your spouse is the spender, like, we get it. We understand. But you need to be on the same page to make this work. And you need to be able to both see everything as a whole so you can make those decisions together.
So another problem that you might be having in your marriage is that you don't actually respect each other. Now, this is slightly different than trust, okay? So one way that this might manifest or whatever is second guessing each other's financial decisions. Mm-hmm. Whether this is big or small, if you're second guessing someone's decisions, it means I don't respect your decision-making ability. I don't respect the history of your decisions. I don't respect your
future,
your motivations and stuff like that. My personal story, I've had people say, I can't believe you don't care or you don't react more to some of the decisions my husband makes. And I just tell him, like, there's no point in that. There's no point in that. What the point is, he knows He has my backing no matter really what. At this point, we've been married for 20 years. He has my support, whatever decision he makes. And that actually makes him weigh his decisions even more. Mm-hmm. And it makes him feel confident. And there's a lot of weight on his shoulders because I'm supporting you. Therefore, you better make a good decision. And instead of being that naggy person, either way, like this can be wife or husband, but why? But what if this? But what if that? But this and that. And just scrutinizing mm-hmm. and second guessing. And that does not lead to confidence. And it will lead to strife in the marriage.
I also think, Shayna, you guys have come a long way. Like every marriage, you've come a long way. You obviously got married. You have things in common. You obviously have goals and morals and you believe in kind of the same thing. And I think a lot of us at the very beginning of our marriage are trying to figure it all mm-hmm. out. We're trying to take our money baggage with their money baggage, bring it together, figure out what that looks like for the both of us. And then yes, you do. You have this family, this spouse that you're trying to support. And you, it is a lot to make these decisions on our own, but also know why you married them. You trust them. Mm-hmm. You know that they're always going to put your best interests and their best interests in your families at heart, right? And at the forefront of their decision-making. And so it is honorable yeah. to be able to say you trust your spouse because you know that they're going to make the right decision. Think about when you're being second guessed or mm-hmm. second judged or however you want to word that. That doesn't feel mm-hmm. good. And so we know that deep down inside, we all want to be trusted. We all right. want to be respected.
Yeah. And I just think, what's the outcome? Let's say, obviously, unfortunately, we've had people tell us my spouse gambled away all yeah. of this. That is a different conversation. Yeah. But let's say this decision that your spouse makes, what is the actual long-term impact it's going to have on your finances versus if you are going to be second-guessing that decision and being that the negative voice in his or her head, what is that long-term impact in your marriage? Mm-hmm. And you just have to weigh that. You just mm-hmm. have to decide which one is more important to you. And sometimes maybe it's a very serious situation and you want to sit down and you want to do it. But that should be, hopefully, maybe, that will be not the norm. That would be yeah. the exception to the rule.
But we believe that everyone has deep down pure good intentions, that they want, everyone wants to do good. Now, if you're having a situation like Shayna said, that somebody gambled all their money away. I had a family member who bought drugs with all of their life savings and they literally had to start over. Mm-hmm. I think it was in their 40s or 50s. And that's a hard, but there was a deeper reason. There's usually always something very deep going on. So if that is a situation, we do recommend you getting help or looking, finding somebody that can work through that because it's not just a spending no. issue. It's right. It's not a spending problem at yeah. that point. There is something else going on.
And let's just say that sometimes people need to learn themselves a lesson. We mm-hmm. see this in our kids a lot, but your spouse, it might be too. Like maybe they already feel bad about the decision. Maybe it went incorrectly. You can support them through that, yeah. right? Possibly, instead of second guessing it, make it worse. Then there's just this valley in your marriage that's going to keep getting wider and wider. Maybe you can just be supportive and they will learn the lesson and not repeat it. And as well as I do, firsthand, I have to learn the lesson myself. And so it's a hard way every time. And if I have somebody like saying, oh man, Shayna, good job. Or just patting me on the back while I learn that hard lesson, that's better than, Shayna, I told you, ugh. How are you going to get close to anybody who tells you they told you, right?
So, yeah. Anyway. And so this kind of goes along with scrutinizing, being scrutinized for spending.
Yeah.
So I had a client just the other day talk about how every time they go to spend money, they feel scrutinized and they get questioned, right? Because it's not the way that they're doing things is not working. And we don't want to feel like anytime we go to swipe a card, there's this gut check or this feeling in your stomach that you're going to get in trouble when you go home because you went and bought groceries or something, right?
Yeah, and that we do talk about. That's like that parent-child relationship, and that's the lack of respect. Mm-hmm. Is I don't respect your decision-making, but I don't respect you enough to just let your spending be what it is. That's bad. We don't want that. We want mm-hmm. to set up a budget like we're going to talk about next time. We want to set that up and then just let it be and find freedom from the desire to nag or scrutinize.
Okay. So another thing it might look like is you needing to ask for an allowance or your spouse giving you, without even asking, an allowance of money that you are, quote unquote, able to spend. This goes back to I had a client saying that she needed to, or actually she didn't need to. Her husband just gave her money every month for groceries and said, here, this is what you're going to spend, without even actually knowing how much they even needed.
Yeah, I do think, and that was for groceries, right? Yeah. I think that a lot of times this is just a pure lack of communication, which is another problem. But not respecting, this happens a lot with groceries and the women, right? Not respecting their actual, the task at hand to plan and feed a family can be a thing. definitely for a lot of men. And then that, the budget aside, right? The budget, the amount of money, but that is a hard task. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't understand how expensive it is to do that. So that can be a problem. But the real problem here and what is displayed with the lack of respect is, what do you do for a child? You give them allowance so they can learn how to use money, mm-hmm. so they can learn how to plan and spend and earn, plan yeah. and spend. Your spouse is not a child. Neither one of you are a child. So even if you tell yourself, I get an allowance. No, you don't get an allowance. You have money that you're allowed to spend. That's all it is. That's what it is. It's not, you didn't earn it because you did some chores. You're an adult and you get money. There's no allowance. It's not a learning teenage years, right?
This is
adulting.
Yeah, it's not one person hoarding all the money and being like, okay, this is what I think you should have throughout the month. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah. So we just, in some cases, it can be just the verbiage.
Right.
And it does communicate, even if it's, a lot of times the women are managing all the finances mm-hmm. and I get my husband an allowance. It's cute.
Nope.
But it's not. It may be trying to say it because it sounds cute, but it's also just that slight little, it's a little nitpick, right? It's a little, what is it called?
Well, death, it's controlling.
Death by a thousand cuts. I think genuinely you might not think that. And for me, when we did that marriage study, love and respect, mm-hmm. there's a lot of little things that you, either side, do that communicate disrespect, even though you don't mean that.
Yeah.
To you, it doesn't mean that. So this is just one of those little things. Let's not call it that. We're both adults and we're consenting adults.
Yeah.
And we don't have allowance because we're not children. So that's where okay. Another way that you might see, you know, respect not being manifested in your marriage is sometimes what happens is one spouse is working hard to earn money mm-hmm. and the other person is maybe spending it faster than either one of them can make it. And it feels, even though you don't mean it that way, it feels like you don't respect the work that I'm doing. You're just spending all the money so fast, like that's taking me hours and labor and energy to earn. And that can be a problem. So we want to make sure that's not a problem.
Yeah. And we see this a lot with maybe stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads, or where one person is maybe working and maybe the other one isn't working as much. And we're not saying that is bad at all. We're just saying that's the situations that we see it in. Because somebody is home, it's easier to spend money when you're not at work. And I had a lady the other day and I said, do something else with your hands. She's, every time I drop the kids off at school, I go to the grocery store and that's where I blow all my money. I'm like,
no, we're not doing something better.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're going for a walk. We're going to the park. We're doing something else. But it just happens and you don't see that it happens. You're not realizing that it's happening.
Yeah.
But also, like Shayna said, the one who's working very hard to provide for their family, and we're not saying that the other one isn't working. We're just saying the one who's making a lot of the money, they feel like it's going out as fast as it's mm-hmm. coming in, and they can't ever keep up.
Yeah. And my husband likes to say, hey, I just worked all week for that. Like whatever we buy or whatever. I just worked all week for that. And it's just a good way to put it in context because, and we'll talk about this later, there's a lot of little things that can happen with your money that's making the fights, but there's so much bigger, better things you could be doing. Mm-hmm. And so you're just going to want to get on the same page. And it's going to be, and we've talked about this before, it's going to be so much better if both of you can, at the end of the year, say, look at what we accomplished. Look at all the things that all of this hard-earned money by both of us made possible. Mm-hmm. Instead of, we went to the grocery store a lot, and I remember we ate out a lot. Yep, it was a really great year. Go 2024.
Both of those things are consumable,
yeah.
So you don't actually have any tangible items for any of it. It's the one thing I think about tax season, right? Like I love taxes. Shayna loves that I love taxes. But
one way to put it.
I said that myself.
I think so.
But I love when we do taxes because it allows me to show my husband all the things that we've been able to accomplish throughout the year. Everything that we were able to do and make work for our family. It's okay, this is where it all went. And yes, we see that throughout the budget sometimes throughout the month to month, but also at the end when you can get those final numbers and go, this is what we did. It's, oh, wow. So it's worth it, right?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Okay, so problem number three is you're not being open about everything. And this is just probably number one, but also we've listed it as number three. But a lot of times we're not openly communicating about what's really going on with our finances one way or another.
Yeah.
And so what does that look like? In one case, maybe you're spending money and you didn't tell, and your spouse doesn't know it. You're hiding purchases. Literally, I text or I put on Facebook, like last month when you went to Target and what did I say? Target and Aldi, and your husband says, I'm not home. So you don't even have to sneak the bags.
Hide the bags.
You just coming in like a normal person. Don't worry about these bags. Anyway, so that could be you. Maybe you're trying to hide the purchases that you made, or you're not telling them, or you're spending. I used to do this a lot. Like I felt like I would hide purchases for my kids. that I spend on my kids or whatever. Be like, no, don't worry about it. They're very cheap. All of these children we have are cheap. Do not be concerned. Don't worry. I've got this. I'll just put this over here. Where did they get this new? Oh, it's fine. Just don't worry about
that. That reminds me of when I was younger. I had this mom. Her husband was on TDY, and he came home to surprise them for Christmas. And she was so upset and depressed that he was gone. So she went out and bought the kids like 50 presents each. I mean, it was like her Christmas tree was insane. The second she found out he was coming home in 3 hours, she shoved them all in our house. She called my mom, put them all in the car. And brought him to our house because she knew he was going to be mad. Anyways, that just totally reminded me of hiding things.
It is funny. And you know what that reminds me of, which has something, I don't know, maybe nothing to do with it. But I feel like you can't hide your purchases as much now with a lot of people have that Ring doorbell.
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
And my husband, him is Chris. It's fine. He has, what is that, informed delivery or whatever? The Postal Service sends a picture of whatever he's going to get in the mail anyway. So that's great for people that want to hide purchases because you can't just show a package. Yes. So it's fine. But it's just funny that it's easier to not hide then.
This also when
you have to work harder to hide.
Sure. Nowadays, for sure. This also made me think when you were talking about hiding, I'm like, what if people have separate Amazon accounts from
themselves? Well, I already told you, y'all are doing this wrong. I don't even know. Oh, yeah. So you can have separate accounts. I have we pay the same Prime, but he can't see my purchases. I don't see his.
Yeah, because it's under household.
Yeah.
You have a household account. No, but I'm talking about, what do people actually have separate accounts so that way their spouse cannot track what they're buying? I wonder. Gosh, if that's you, I'm sorry.
I have one called Vanessa Buy This.
Oh, you do?
We did that one time. I don't remember why.
Is it like a list?
It was before the households. I don't know. No, you bought him the Greek flag because I didn't want him to see.
Oh, yes. I did do that.
Anyway, we are getting off on a tangent. Point being, don't hide purchases. That's where we're going. But that's just a manifestation that you're not being open. Okay. Yes. So what else? What is another one? Maybe you want something. And this will be my example. You want something, but you don't talk about it. So I feel like sometimes maybe you want something and then, or there's something that you wish that you could purchase, but you don't have any credit cards, so you can't hide it. And then you don't ask for it. And then you resent the person because they didn't say yes.
This is to the thing that you never told them you wanted.
This is happening in Shayna's brain all the time. Y'all should know. For me, I remember when we moved from Alaska, where you like went the marriage, for 10 pounds from when you get married and the Alaska 10. Like, it was fine. It was extra. Anyway, so I was going to a gym. This is right before we met, actually. I was going to a gym and all these people actually paid for personal training. And I was like, I was shocked that we got a gym membership. Wow. $40 a month. I don't know if we can do it. And then I came home and I never even asked. I never even talked about it with my husband because it just seemed like a frivolous spending. And all my girlfriends at the gym were signing up for personal training. I was like, and I mentioned it. He's like, please do that. Anyway, I was like, what? And I didn't ask for so I didn't talk about it for so long. He's like, you should do that. Obviously, he also was excited maybe I would lose some of those pounds, but he also knew that it would be good for me. We had just moved here and all that kind of stuff to make friends.
Is that the first group that we've met each other in?
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Go Chris.
Yeah, go Chris. I know. And so that when we talk about, we didn't talk about it, but a lot of these things are coming from past baggage. I think for me, the answer always when I was growing up was no. And we didn't have a lot of money, which is fine. Yeah. I didn't even ask most of the time because I knew the answer was going to be no. And so I think coming into my marriage, I put that a lot on Chris, especially once I stopped working. That's a whole nother conversation we'll all have about how you deal with that worthiness once you don't contribute quote unquote income. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I would put that all on Chris and it wasn't him. I think every time I've asked him, I remember a couple of years ago, I was like, I need a life coach. He's like, okay. Anytime I actually bring it up, he's whatever. Because I am a spender like with little stuff, but big purchases is not my thing. And so he always says yes, but that's what I'm talking about, putting that baggage of how I was as a little girl into my marriage. It's not his fault. It's not his problem to deal with. He's not the one actually saying no. It's all in my head. And then I have this conversation and this whole thing, and it can lean to resentment. I don't think it really ever did for me, but it can, because you're thinking in your head he's going to say, or they're going to say no, whether it's him or her. And then you feel like, oh, I don't get anything. And we hear this all the time. And it's not that. It's you need a plan and you need to not put your baggage on your spouse.
And I think it goes back to the respect and trust thing. Like you, and I'm the same way. There's not been one thing that I wanted to buy that my husband said no to, because he knows if I want something, if I'm going to ask for it, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And he respects and trusts my decision making. And so I think it all comes back to that. And I think what we're hitting on is how important all that is.
Yeah. So what else might it look like? It might be like you're racking up credit card debt or you have credit cards that your spouse doesn't know of, either doesn't know about or they don't know how big the balances are. A lot of times,
and that's
on both sides. All of this is on both sides. Yeah. We hope you hear that. It's not one or the other. We will see all the time when they finally come to the session, when they're finally putting it all on one page, the balances for his credit cards, the balances for her credit cards are way higher than either one of them realized. It happens a lot.
And we've had clients come to the session and then maybe 4 months in actually then reveal what was really going on.
Yeah.
Because they weren't comfortable with it yet.
Yeah.
And we're not, I mean, we can do the math, guys. It's not, if it's not adding up, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And like I said, a couple sessions in, we're like, okay, what's really, oh, I actually have this other credit card with $20,000 on it that we need to talk about. I'm like, okay, it's, there is no judgment, but we have to be able to see it. We need to see the whole picture. And that's what we're encouraging you guys. Just lay it all out there.
Yeah.
Lay it, everything on the table. Have a conversation. Bring the snacks. Bring the drinks, whatever.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Fight about it. Get mad about it. And then you get to heal from it.
Yeah, you can build from there. Yeah, you can build from Winona Judd says, when you hit rock bottom, there's only one way to go. Straight up.
Yep.
All right. So another thing it might look like is if you're trying to, we have clients like they're trying so hard to make it look on the surface like everything's going okay, but behind the scenes or underneath the surface, it is crazy town and it's not working. And that's because you're not being open. Maybe you don't want to disappoint them because, and I think a lot for a lot of people, it's the way I'm budgeting is the problem. And I don't want to disappoint them because I'm not handling our money. No, you actually, when we put it on paper, there's not enough money for what you guys are trying to accomplish. And so that's the real problem. But maybe I've had clients like they, their spouse did not know that it was that bad and that it was that tight, that it was that close.
Yeah.
And that's not fair for either one of you.
And again, when you're trying to make it surface level, it's like the picture of the iceberg, right? It's
the duck swimming on top.
Yeah.
Either one. Yeah, there's two.
Like the surface is, oh, it's fine. We're dealing with it. We're handling it. But below, your anxiety, like you're, there's a lot going on and you're, maybe you're stress eating, maybe you're stress spending because there's so much happening. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to disappoint your spouse or let them know what's really happening because you want them to think that it's all good or that you have it under control. But, and it's okay to admit defeat. Like it's okay to come together and be like, this isn't working. We need to figure out a new plan.
Absolutely.
But again, doing that together is what's going to make you stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we want for you and for your marriage. Okay. Another way that might be a problem is you might be feeling guilt, like Vanessa talked about. It might manifest in these ways, but you feel it in your belly.
Yeah.
You feel it and you're always feeling it. And that's awful. We have to get rid of that. We have to get rid of that. And going back to being personal, feeling scared to talk about money, that's very personal to me. But feeling apprehension to bring anything up, that's a sign that this is a problem in your marriage. And you got to deal with it. You got to figure out whether that's reality or in your head. We've got to figure out how to solve for that.
Yeah. And I think once you start recognizing there is guilt, there's shame, there's doubt, there's frustration, there's whatever, you need to pause, right? And bring the other one in. And again, like Shana said, we may not be speaking to you. It may be like, oh, this is my spouse. Like, I wish he would be open. I wish he would talk to me about that or she, whatever. So again, not directing this at you. This, you could be the other person in all this.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Again, we want y'all to be able to come together.
Okay. The last problem we're going to talk about in this very short podcast that we've recorded for you is unequal contributions. Okay. The problem that we didn't talk about is, I love the way that somebody said it in one of our podcasts. It's not just that I didn't know how to do money, but then maybe it was Callie. I wasn't that great with money, but then I added another person to this equation when we got married and we're not good. So that's the first problem. Like combining finances is hard, guys, but then you put in the layer of unequal income, unequal quote unquote contributions into a budget and it can get very messy.
For sure. Especially when you expect both parties to contribute financially the same when their income is not the same or equal.
Yeah.
So I think that we have seen that is one spouse, or you basically have separate budgets. This is what's happened. You basically have separate budgets this person is in charge of electricity and water, whatever. This person's in charge of rent and groceries and however you want to divvy it up. But the income is not matching. So the other person who's trying to quote unquote make this work is literally probably using credit cards to fund the rest of it because their income isn't the same and they cannot financially contribute the same as the other person who's making more money.
I just think this is such an attack of the enemy to keep us all in the mindset that mine and yours is yours. And maybe as a couple, you started off because you didn't know how to combine finances. Maybe when you were first dating or whatever, and I pay for this and you pay for that, or because you're used to having a roommate and that's how you did it with a roommate or something. And then you try to treat your marriage that way. Your marriage is not that. Your marriage is not a dating couple. Your marriage is not a roommate. Your marriage is all of our income and all of our assets, all of the good, mm-hmm. along with all of the bad, all of the debts, all of the bills, everything. It's all one big pot. The sooner you do that, the sooner you see it as all of ours, all of our, of one big financial picture, it's going to be one, easier to budget. I promise you that. And two, it's going to be able to allow for that teamwork that we want you guys to have.
Yeah. And also we do see, I think we talked about this before, some people who maybe stay home and take care of the kids and they're not making as much money financially and not contributing so much financially, but their work at home, what they're doing should just as well be valued the exact same amount as the person who is out working and making and working the 9-to-5 job, because it is, they're doing the same amount of work. It's just not, they're not receiving the financial benefit from it.
Yeah. And I think part, that's why you have to see your marriage as a team, as equal, because you guys both decided if somebody's staying at home or if somebody, even like I've stayed home the whole time, but my career has always been second to my husband's because we move every 3 or 4 years and I can't maintain a career that way. And, but we both decided that was our values as a married couple. Our value was they're always going to have one parent at home. That was very important to us. Yep. And when this position, I'm the best one for this and you're the best one to go make all the money that we can spend and eat and thing. Okay. And that's what we decided as a team. And so if we both decide that as a team, because it's what's important to us, then everything else should flow from that. Mm-hmm. Then all of our money is all of our money. It's all us. It's not me versus you. It's not what I do versus what you do. It's us.
Or what I make versus what you make.
Yeah.
There was a couple times that I had a job after I had children, but it was always around my husband's schedule. I absolutely never had a job or could make the amount of money that he was making because of what his job demanded. And that was okay because everything that I was doing, even though it didn't have a financial tag, like a high financial tag on it, was worth, it was priceless to my husband. We both valued each other the same.
Yeah. And I want to say this may not be where you're at. So maybe you wish that was how you and your husband both felt, or you and your wife both felt. And maybe we should be more careful. The first step is to get talking about it. The first step is to get it out on the table and say, what is it that we want? If we think the kids are old enough for me to go back to work because we have big financial goals, let's talk about that. Let's have the same goals. Let's have the same and know that our decision, what we made as a couple as a decision, is what's funding our budget. Mm-hmm. And we need to be on the same page as that. And then everything in the budget can flow from that because we made a decision and this is our decision that I'm staying home or I'm going back to work or you're taking that job that's going to be like your husband or my husband, like we are accepting you're going to make more money, but there's a sacrifice. Those are all marital decisions and they have consequences that are good and bad, but we're going to make that together.
And here's the thing. The reason they're able to have that big job, if this is you, the reason why Chris was able to have the job and my husband was able to have the job was because we were able to stay home and take care of the kids. That was a decision that we made to get, obviously separately in our marriages, but like you made that together. And the reason why they were able to be so successful was because they had you there to support them.
So really, we're talking about overall contributions. But what we've noticed with some of our clients is because you're not combining. So we just went off on the tangent about combining and being okay with that. And everybody's equal and awesome and together and 100% of marriage is 50-50, whatever. What we were saying is one thing that we see is people have separate budgets and they have separate incomes. So but they're expected to contribute to bills the same. So one way that this kind of manifested is I had a client and she came on board because her and her husband, their financial conversations kept leading to discord, as she put it. I love that word.
Not fights. It's not fights.
Discord. And she, and I said, okay, we got her complete. She wanted to feel confident to go with him with the budget, with her business and everything. And be like, here's everything. So we worked on that first. And then she brought his stuff into it so that they could see. I keep telling them if they would just join forces, they're going to be able to go further. And so I said, no wonder you're so stressed out. He's making 3 times as much as you. And the expectation for your amount of income is not realistic. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have enough money to do all the things that perhaps. And that's okay. And that's like the way to massage that into a relationship is like, babe, you're making so much money. You're doing so good.
Yeah.
Can you also pay for this or whatever? Can we have you fund this because you're doing so great?
Right.
But obviously having all of their income combined, but that was what it was, is you literally can't do that. And maybe he doesn't see that because he thinks you're making more than you do, Or he just is used to him making so much. And so he thinks you can do so much. That's why the actual answer is to get the whole budget mm-hmm. together. But having these conversations, like being legit, I legit don't make as much as you. So I can't pay as many bills as you.
And I had a very similar situation with a client who stayed home after they had kids. And she had a haircutting business to be able to try to contribute. But she was still expected to contribute the same amount at home or financially as he was. And he was obviously making at that time 4, 5, 6 times more than she was, because she was just trying to make a little bit money here and there. And so instead of having a conversation, an open dialogue conversation with him about the expectation, she just put it all on credit cards. And he didn't know for I think it was like literally 15 years that she was doing this. He just figured it was working, and they didn't really know how. And then finally she opened up and said, this is how I've been able to fund it this whole time. And he was really upset, which that's on both sides. There was something wrong on both sides that they could have done better and make better decisions. But I think that, again, being open, honest, having that conversation mm-hmm. and just working through it is going to always be the answer, guys.
Yeah. So to review, we talked about 4 problems that might be causing some problems in your marriage, which were lack of trust, lack of respect, unequal income and contributions, and not being open about the conversation mm-hmm. about what's happening with your money. Those were the 4 problems that are big. They're big.
Yeah, they are
secret, like little marriage destroyers, or like little, like those little things in The Matrix that ate everything, or whatever. Maybe that was the wrong movie. Like they're little viruses and they just kill your marriage.
No, they are. And I love how you say that, because I had a client who told me that they were wanting to come together and they have these conversations, and then they started praying together. And literally the next week, the enemy tried to destroy. And she was explaining this to me. And then at the very end, she's like, we just started trying to pray together. And I was like, oh,
there you go.
The enemy is 100% involved in it. And then when I explained the whole thing, yeah. She said, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it is. He is. If he sees something good and he knows your weak parts, mm-hmm. he is coming for that. So just be on alert.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the solutions in the next podcast. But just so you know, in case you forgot, we have a signature budget template that we want you.
Kind of amazing.
This is, as you listened to Natalie say a few weeks ago, this is the thing that you can use to get on the same page, to be open, mm-hmm. to start trusting each other with money and getting on the same page. You can go to myidealbalance.com/budget to grab that.
Yep. And you can use it on any device, guys, an Apple, an Android, you can use anything. You just need an app to be able to do it if you're going to use it mobily. Otherwise, mobily? That's a word.
Mobily.
Otherwise, you use it on your computer. But guys, it's so pretty, it's easy, it's organized, and it makes it simplified.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Hey, if you found value in this podcast and you're ready to go deeper, here are some ways we can connect.
First, go ahead and take the leap. Book a free 20-minute financial coaching call with us. This is your chance to ask questions, to get personalized advice, and start mapping out your financial journey for free. It's on us. We're treating you. Just hop on a call, chat for 20 minutes. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Next, join our supportive Facebook group where you can connect with other like-minded people who are trying to figure out this budget thing just like you.
Yep. Or if you want to take it to the next level, grab our signature budget template. You've heard us talk about it. It's a game changer for organizing and optimizing your finances. It's practical, user-friendly, and it's the perfect tool, girl, to start making real progress.
And if you're ready to get serious about your finances and you know you need the accountability, sign up for financial coaching now, guys. This is the one-on-one hand-holding that you know you need. Let's be honest, guys. If you're going to do it on your own, you would have done it already. So that's what we're here for.
Yes. So visit myidealbalance.com for all the details, all the links, everything you need to get connected.
And hey, if today's conversation sparked a new idea or inspired a change in you, why not share that spark? Tell a friend about the podcast and leave us a review on iTunes.
Your words could be the nudge that someone else needs to start their journey towards financial freedom. And by the way, as we say goodbye, remember, your financial journey, your well-being isn't just about numbers. It's about all the peace, the joy, the lack of stress that it's going to bring into your life. So you've got this, and we're here to support you every step of the way.